Get ready, it's time for... All right, time for the Normie News. We look around mainstream media for Tuesday morning, April 18th, and we start at government-funded media. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Twitter. Government-funded media. rnz.co.nz. RNZ is telling us via their social media, just before we get into their stories, that their editorial independence is enshrined in our charter and editorial policy. Twitter's own policy defines government-funded media may have varying degrees of government involvement over editorial content, which does not apply to RNZ. And then they say, not only is our editorial independence protected by the law, we guard it vigorously. Over the next few days, we're considering our options. I reckon they will leave Twitter. I got a feeling. And they say one of their options is talking to Twitter to have the label removed or revised. Good luck with that. Or as other media around the country would have done, leave the platform. Says Megan Whelan, the genius from RNZ. Not a good day for Megan yesterday and the other folks at RNZ. They've been outed. The sunlight is shining in. Best form of disinfectant. They are government-funded media, and Twitter is telling you. And they don't like it. They're squealing. They don't like it. Probably the biggest brand hit that RNZ could ever take right now. Because if they go off Twitter, they're really in their own echo chamber then, right? Anyway, we watched that one with interest. We'll look at social media a bit later. We'll see what people are saying about that. But in the meantime, the government-funded media, leading with this, time to deprioritize COVID-19 for most epidemiologists. Another one. It's time to deprioritize the response to COVID-19, which will now be no worse than the flu for the majority of the population, an epidemiologist says. You know, I would be reluctant to label myself as government-funded epidemiologist, as an epidemiologist these days. It's not a good look. Anyway, University of Otago professor, another professor, Peter McIntyre said the focus should now be on getting those at higher risk, double boosted. They just don't know when to stop, do they? Double boosted. What world does Peter McIntyre live in? A government-funded world. Anyway, rather than worrying about infection control through increased mask wearing, which doesn't work, or improved ventilation, like leaving the window open, that group included the elderly and Māori and Pacifica over 60 years old. Double boost them. That could take them out. COVID-19 numbers rose in recent weeks, prompting some epidemiologists, no, just one, Dr. Joe 90, only him, to talk about a fourth wave of the disease and calls for the government to enable better ventilation in classrooms and order mask wearing on public transport. All that time studying, all that grant money, and you can only come up with ventilation in classrooms and wearing a mask that doesn't work. Yeah. And recommending boosters that could kill you and that don't work anyway. Yes, these people are reaching the absolute pinnacle of their career right now. Professor McIntyre, also medical advisor for the Immunization Advisory Center. So actually he's got a conflict of interest here. He's promoting immunization. So he can't let go, right? He said, rather than looking at the total numbers, we should identify groups that were not double boosted or did not have antivirals available to them. They are obsessed. No, possessed. They're possessed. McIntyre was also head of the Department for Women's and Children's Health. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. At the University of Otago. Women and children, stay away from this man. He said the combination of the number of historic COVID-19 infections and the country's high vaccination rates. Yeah, why is everybody coming down with COVID then? Peter, meant there was a really good level of immunity in New Zealand. No talk of natural immunity there. None. These people are possessed. to be honest, I get a bit frustrated at the fact this keeps popping up with all these messages about avoiding infection. Oh, you're a bit frustrated, Peter. It's not nice, is it, to be frustrated? I just think, without any disrespect to the people who still think that's important, I just believe the game's moved on and we should have our attention elsewhere. Will you, Peter, you and your ilk drove these people to fear and obsession? And University of Canterbury COVID-19 modeller, Professor Michael Plank, said there had been a significant rise of people admitted to hospital, but it was too early to say whether New Zealand was experiencing a new wave of infections or just a bump. Well, get on your model, Michael. Get on your model and work harder. As you can hear, I don't have much time for these people. RNZ government-funded news have this story, 150 job cuts as Auckland Transport promises to boost services. Oh dear. The boss of Auckland Transport has announced 150 jobs will be cut as he promises to get chaotic ferry, bus and train travel in the super city back to pre-COVID-19 levels in just 18 months. Really? New Auckland Transport Chief Executive Dean Kimpton made the job cuts announcements Monday night, and RNZ government-funded media tell us that he said about 150 roles would be cut and that this followed Auckland Council's letter of expectation and its annual budget for 2023-24, which made it clear the organisation should plan to receive less funding from the council. The problems are mainly due to an acute driver shortage. It's the same story for Auckland's commuter ferries, with operator Fuller 360 saying it's been cancelling up to 30% of weekly services because there are not enough skippers or crew hands. Where are they? Where have they gone? Or are they constantly cycling through COVID infection after COVID infection? And RNZ News, government-funded media, have the Who Are the Instagram Superstars of New Zealand Sport? Oh, who are they? Oh, him. Oh, that's Israel Adesanya, Kane Williamson, Dan Carter, Trent Bolt, Steve Adams. Oh, whatever. And this story, protesters blocking roads could face 14 years jail, police warn. 14? Disruptive protests blocking traffic are dangerous for drivers and protesters, and anyone taking part in the future could face up to 14 years in jail. Four women, aged 19 to 64, have been arrested and charged with endangering transport after blocking part of a busy Wellington highway during the peak Monday morning commute and were due to appear in Wellington District Court later on Monday. The protesters from the, what do these people take? Restore Passenger Rail Group said there would be more protests until the government committed to restoring a nationwide passenger rail network. What if they've got train sets at home? It was the latest of a series of similar protests blocking or disrupting State Highway 1 in Wellington going back to October last year. I hope the disinformation project's looking into these people. Some commuters appeared angry at the blockage and construction workers caught up in the delays confronted the protesters. We urge protesters to consider their safety and the safety of others when planning their peaceful protest, Wellington District Commander Superintendent Corey Parnell said. And that's RNZ News this morning, government-funded media. Our mainstream media normie news review for Tuesday morning goes to auntienzherald.co.nz. It's going to be a tough year. Bleak new recession forecast for New Zealand. Are you ready for this? New Zealand's looming recession, oh, it's a looming recession now, is tipped to be twice as deep as previously thought, with Kiwis being warned to prepare for a tough rest of the year. Have you seen the price of eggs? The bleaker forecast from economists at ASB comes as food prices rise at their fastest annual rate in more than 30 years, and many struggle to afford the basics. Build back better. I think I read yesterday, I'm adding this, that food prices had gone up 12% in the last month. What? ASB is predicting a 2% contraction to gross domestic product by early 2024, which is double the 1% economic shrink that the bank forecast in its last quarterly update. and the country's expected recession is likely to set in earlier than expected. Oh, great, it just keeps getting better. According to the latest ASB economic forecast released today, GDP falling 0.6% in the December 2022 quarter. ASB's chief economist Nick Tuffley said high interest rates and inflation will continue to restrain consumer spending in the coming year, with homeowners feeling the strain and pain the most. Tuffley said things have overheated and the stimulus to get us through the pandemic has been arguably too successful at keeping the economy running along. Too successful? So now we're feeling the effects of that and the economy being stretched. We expect rising living costs to add around $150 a week to household spending this year. And income growth is not likely to keep pace with this, despite another year of strong wage growth. It's going to be a tough year, and home borrowers will feel these impacts disproportionately. Oh dear, tropical disturbance to bring another soaking to parts of New Zealand. Are you ready for this? Another river of rain, or atmospheric river. I can never remember the exact term. Residents of the South Island's west coast, the Herald tell us, should prepare for a wet Friday and Saturday as a tropical disturbance will bring periods of heavy rain through the region. The disturbance is currently located near New Caledonia, but is forecast to move south by the end of the week. NIWA, referring to their 1979 onwards data, said although the track is currently uncertain and could change, it's likely to hit parts of the upper and central parts of the South Island and potentially the east coast of the South Island. NIWA meteorologist Seth Carrier estimated 100 millimetres could be pretty widespread on the upper and central west coast. I would not be surprised to see up to 200 millimetres of rain in the higher terrains. And they have this story. French embassy breaks silence over mystery of warship in the Hauraki Gulf. The mystery surrounding a French warship found by the Coast Guard lurking in the Hauraki Gulf appears to have been solved, with the French embassy providing fresh details on the frigate's surprise discovery. Radio silence from authorities and embassy officials about why the armed Navy vessel was located earlier this month within New Zealand's 12 nautical mile territorial limit sparked speculation from a defence expert, that it may have been hunting Chinese submarines operating near New Zealand waters. However, the French embassy says the frigate was simply conducting sea trials after undergoing maintenance in Auckland, and that its presence in domestic waters had been notified to New Zealand authorities. Prime Minister Chris Hipkins was blindsided when the Herald asked him what the ship, which is fitted with a 100mm artillery turret and two mounted 20mm guns, was doing off Auckland's coast. Stunned Coast Guard crew came across the ship during the search for a stricken yacht. The French frigate responded to the Mayday call and used its radar to help locate the distressed vessel. Well, that's nice. Chippy said he had no knowledge of the ship's visit during a media stand-up. His office later provided a statement saying the frigate regularly visited New Zealand and that the latest visit was done with the full knowledge of the New Zealand Defence Force and approved by MFAT. Well, that's okay then. That's all right. I feel a lot more relaxed about that now. Now the Normie News Mainstream Media Review on RCR for Tuesday morning moves to News Hub Hipkins. Chippy attending King Charles's coronation. NATO? Why NATO? What have we got to do with NATO? Are they going to ask us to send an armoured personnel carrier to Ukraine or something? Well, with the retention problems the New Zealand Defence Force has at the moment, there's no one there to drive them, probably. Chippy's also visiting Australia this weekend. He will travel with a trade delegation to Australia to mark 40 years of closer economic relations. Also off to the United Kingdom to attend the coronation of King Charles III in May, where he'll be joined by a delegation of prominent Kiwis and community representatives who'll represent New Zealand at the ceremony. Payback for all the support, no doubt. He's also accepted an invitation to attend the NATO Leaders Summit in Vilnius, Lithuania in July. That's curious. NATO is fighting the Russians. We're supporting the Ukrainians. The Ukrainian nation is being destroyed in front of our eyes. The US global reserve currency petrodollar is on a slide. Boy, we know how to pick sides, don't we? My focus is on the cost of living and cyclone recovery challenges New Zealand is facing. As such, I will only undertake a small number of international engagements this year. When overseas, I will look to put trade front and centre in order to support our economic recovery. Like, you know anything about trade. You're from the hut. You're a student activist. You know about trade? The government is also continuing to pursue a trade-focused trip to China later this year. And Chippy is defending an increase in communication staff since Labour came to power. The Prime Minister has defended the rise in the number of communication staff in the public service following attacks from the National Party. Data compiled by National and verified by RNZ, government-funded media, show the number of communication staff in the core public service had risen to 532, as shown in the 2021-2022 annual reviews from 31 different departments and ministries. It's an increase of 7.5% on the previous year and a 56.87% increase since Labour took office. There's a pattern emerging here. That was despite new guidance from the Public Service Commission to establish a more consistent and transparent definition of what a communications professional was. Chippy, what's a communications professional? Oh, I haven't had a pre-prepared answer for that, so I can't say. In the process, removing some roles like marketing specialists and community liaison advisors. Nine departments or ministries explicitly mentioned applying the guideline in their reports. Four reported large decreases in their staff numbers, while five reported increases under the new definition. National Party leader Christopher Luxon said the government had become fixated on largesse and lost focus on getting things done. It's absolutely outrageous. We want the focus to be on delivering outcomes and getting the resources from the centre and the bureaucracy out to the frontline services so we can improve outcomes for New Zealanders. You might say that. National Public Service spokesperson Simeon Brown told Morning Report, government-funded media, the staff's role was to spin the government's agenda, which the Prime Minister rejected. Chippy said, this isn't about spin doctoring. It's not about working with the media. Whatever. And News Hub just can't let it go either. In their coronavirus section, people need to get their boosters. Expert. Warns against complacency as fourth wave of COVID-19 bites. Who's the expert today? Who's the expert? I go into the story and there's Mike McRoberts, former husband of Paula Penfold, Fire and Fury fame, telling us about the fourth wave. Then there's clips of people putting on PPE in hospitals and masks. And then there's Helen Pitussis-Harris banging on. And then a very earnest News Hub reporter telling us how bad it could be. And then lines of people driving up with their masks on to get COVID-19 injections. None of this, News Hub, will age well. You know that, don't you? The Normie News now goes to stuff.co.nz. Are they going to change their name? Who knows? Sorry, we weren't well prepared, Auckland Council CEO. Lead story. Jim Staback says there are things he wishes were different and we have to be accountable for what happened during the deadly flood. Four people died and hundreds of homes were left uninhabitable by unprecedented rainfall during the floods, for which the council's emergency readiness has been strongly criticised. I think that's an understatement. Basically, it was a complete failure. Speaking for the first time since the release of an independent review of the emergency management response, Jim Staback said it was frustrating that it took so long to build a clear picture of the unfolding flood catastrophe. Remember the Auckland councillor, the woman, said she only found out because her daughter texted her? Yeah. There are things we wish were different, and we have to be accountable for the fact that we weren't as well prepared to respond as we should have been, Staback said. Aucklanders frankly deserve better than that response. Cash for cats upset over hunting competition for kids? Oh, what's this about? Rural kids are being offered a $250 cash prize for killing feral cats, but a local woman fears beloved pets will be caught in the crossfire. The annual North Canterbury Hunting Competition, a fundraiser for Rotherham School and Pool, has kicked off with a new junior category for most feral cats hunted. Hunters aged 14 or younger have from April 15th until late June to kill as many feral cats They can. Whoever kills the most wins 250. What a lame prize. And we'll be in the running for a $4,600 dirt bike spot prize for being a junior hunter. Okay, well, that's better. The competition is a beloved community event, attracting more than, not so much for the cats, I'd have to say, attracting more than 900 participants in 2022, 250 of which were in the junior category. Juniors hunted animals, including possums, ducks, hares, rabbits, rats, and geese. No one's sticking up for them. In their national section, God help us, Waikato Hospital short 40 nurses for one shift. A tone of the country's largest hospitals. Interesting line. A nursing delegate says junior staff are having to take on extra responsibilities as shortages get worse. No one surprised, right? And alpha male powerlifter, this is in their sports section, denied entry into women's competition. Once known as New Zealand's strongest man, Dale Shepherd is protesting the inclusion of transgender women in women's sport. Former world record holder and multiple time New Zealand's strongest man, Dale Shepherd, wrote on his entry form for the Day of the Deeds competition in Huntly in June, "I identify as a woman for this contest," seemingly in protest on the inclusion of transgender athletes in the women's category. Global Powerlifting Committee NZ, one of two governing bodies for powerlifting in New Zealand, told Shepherd he was ineligible to compete in the women's category as he does not meet the criteria for transgender athletes. Shepherd, who's 52, who's been involved in powerlifting for more than 20 years, said he could lift more than 300 kgs easily, described himself as a biological alpha male and not transgender. Current international GPC regulations, which were added to the New Zealand regulations over the weekend, state transgender women can compete in the women's category, but must declare their identity as a woman and cannot change their gender declaration for sporting purposes for a minimum of 4 years. And transgender athletes must also undergo hormone treatment for at least 12 months and provide documentation from a medical professional. For those not undergoing hormone treatment, a confidential review is required, and so it goes on, goes on. GPC NZ spokesperson and trustee Greg Turrell said the organisation had spoken with Shepherd about his entry. "I've clarified the rules with Dale. He is ineligible, but there is provision for transgender women to compete in powerlifting as a whole," he said. All right. And we finish our mainstream media normie news tour for Tuesday morning at One News, government-funded media. Not yet, but probably soon. Confronting video shows aftermath of Whangarei Gulf stabbing. That's too sad to talk more about, I think. Researchers warn New Zealand lakes will take generations to restore. Researchers, they're warning us. This is the Lakes 380 project that we mentioned yesterday in the Normie News, led by the Cawthron Institute and GNS Science, found almost half of the lakes are in poor health or worse. Yeah, the hands out for more money, in other words. Blenheim family's eight-month wait for broadband. Some New Zealanders using KiwiSaver to fund weight loss surgery. Queenstown's iconic gondola shutting down for a $200 million upgrade. One News have the ASB story. They're tipping a deeper recession for New Zealand in 2023. And in their health section, oh, they're really helping us out here. What's the best position to sleep in for a good night's rest? And there's Jeremy Wells, you know, lying on the couch. It's one of these non-news infotainment pieces from Seven Sharp. I'm looking here to find if there's any usable information. Asked whether front, back or side was best, Christian Morrow from Brisbane's Bond University told Seven Sharp, "This is all quite individual in your age, weight, environment, activities, and whether you're pregnant." Well, that's not me. "Really find a position where you're comfortable." I could have told you that. And that completes our tour of the mainstream media normie news sites for Tuesday morning, April 18th on RCR.